Look in any travel magazine or travel publication, and there's bound to be an article on the future of travel in the next few years. In fact, this is even one of my favorite questions to ask my podcast guests this season. And the variety of answers is quite fascinating. But one common thread that I am seeing among all the articles and the answers from my podcast guests is that travel is definitely going to be vastly different than what we've been used to in the past, especially in the near future. No more forced mega adventures like 5 countries in 10 days for the sake of popularity and social media status. And nowhere is this message clearer than with my guest today, Rania Kalogou, who lives in Thessaloniki, Greece. Rania calls herself a third culture kid, having lived in few different countries in her childhood, but home is still this part of mainland Greece, known for its historical significance, museums, beaches, and of course, incredible Greek cuisine that so many of us love. Even though it is part of mainland Greece, and as Rania says, not so well known as compared to some of the famous Greek islands, Rania thinks that this is what makes Thessaloniki that much more special. Off the beaten path, yet so culturally rich, it's definitely worth a visit, especially at a time when people are craving staycations, mini adventures, and localized experiences that bring forth the love of exploration. We also talked about how food is such an integral part of the travel experience. And Rania's tip, be up for a cultural adventure in her hometown. Check out the most unassuming little restaurants that the locals frequent and be prepared to be loved upon and fed from the yaya, grandma, who is most likely also the home chef. Doesn't Thessaloniki sound like a fascinating place to explore and live life a little, away from the stresses of traveling to super popular and famous places? Come join Rania and me on this episode of Culturally Ours as we explore her hometown of Thessaloniki in Greece.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
Welcome, Rania. Thank you so very much for joining me on Culturally Ours. I am very excited to talk to you, get to know you a little bit better, and get to explore your part of the world a little bit with you.
Hi, Karthika. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Absolutely. So before we begin, could you tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, just to kind of help set the stage for this conversation?
Perfect. So my name is Rania and I'm originally from Greece. I identify strongly as a TCK or a third culture kid because I moved around a lot when I was younger. So I lived in 6 countries. But the main place I call home is my hometown, Thessaloniki, in the north of Greece.
Okay. Now you said third culture kid. What does that mean? I'm very intrigued. Explain that a little bit to me.
Right. So it's a term that's been used recently to describe children that kind of grew up in different countries. So that means they identify with different parts of the world and might have picked up cultural aspects of places that are not their own culture.
Okay. So where all have you lived?
So I lived in 6 countries before I was 18, Romania, Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan, Greece, and New Zealand.
Oh, wow. So yeah. What made you, you said now you live in your hometown. So what made you come back after living in all these exciting places?
It was kind of like the pull, you know, how you have this feeling that you need to do something. And I always wanted to live in my city as an adult. And finally, I made it happen just before Corona. So that's great.
So talk to me a little bit about your hometown. You said, you know, you've lived in all these amazing places and you've come back home. So explore your hometown with us. What makes it so special?
Oh, yeah, great. So Thessaloniki is not a place most people know because it's not the islands and it's not Athens. It's mainland northern Greece and was one of the most important places in antiquity. Famously, it is sort of associated with Alexander the Great. That's the biggest accomplishment. But it's got a lot of like cultural vibes. It used to be a very multicultural place. So we had populations from all around the world. It's a student town, which means there's a lot of fun things happening. It's by the water. It's a port city. So it's just like a medium-sized, great place to do life.
Okay, that sounds fascinating. And anywhere close to the water, you're still getting the, the benefits of what Greece is famous for, right?
Exactly. And there are some amazing beaches that people don't know about because they're in the mainland.
I'm sure we'll get to that a little bit later in the interview. But talk to me a little bit about the whole situation that we're in. And you mentioned that you got here just before Corona hit. So what has it been like for you, for your community? How has, you know, your part of the world, and we can even explore how Greece has handled the whole situation. I just want to kind of get your perspective on how things are back there.
Mm-hmm. So Greece was doing really well post-pandemic. We were bouncing back from like a really bad financial crisis that people are kind of aware of, and the mood had started to lift. So the pandemic was bad because we were doing great and then it happened. But I would say that Greeks are sort of, I don't know, used to hardship. So we bounced back easily. We enforced lockdown very, very fast. So we were stuck at home for about 2.5 months. But people were okay with that. And it was an interesting time in terms of wages and business and the economy. but I think... Yeah, I think overall, like, we handled it very well. And we got some really good press with the way we handled it. So I was glad to see my country get some good press for right. once.
Right. Now, have things opened up? Is it slow? Is it 100% open? Are tourists coming in? How is that looking like?
So Greece made the decision to open it up in May for tourism purposes. And we did get some tourists coming in. It wasn't normal levels. And it's still open to most people. Of course, not to Americans, because right. You guys are not welcome in most places right now.
I know. But it's kind of shocking when, you know, a few years ago, people kept talking about the power of the passport and, you know, how some passports are quite privileged, and now it's almost like a flip 180 where having a U.S. passport, you don't get to do a lot of things that we frankly take for granted, and travel being one of them. So yeah, it's kind of hitting us hard.
Yeah, it's what a surprise. I mean, like, what a 180, like you said.
Yeah. So let's kind of dig a little bit into this concept of travel, right? Since it has changed so much and you're saying that things are opening up, how is that sort of impacting the businesses in your area, just the mood in your area? I mean, are people being welcomed with open arms, or is there, you know, reservation? Do you have like masks? I mean, I'm just trying to kind of wrap my head around the travel aspect. In the pandemic, especially with a country like Greece that is so popular with tourists.
Right. So I was fortunate to have have traveled quite a bit this summer domestically. I didn't expect it to happen, but it was a really great opportunity to travel. So I got to witness a lot of that happening. There are less people, but everybody's just as welcome. Most like all of the personnel wears masks everywhere, but the visitors don't have to. So it kind of feels like normal, almost.
Hey there. I hope you are enjoying this episode of Culturally Ours. Did you know there are so many wonderful resources, articles, and blog posts on the website to extend your Culturally Ours experience? We also have a library of free resources like a travel guide to some of the most culturally diverse places around the world, a global kitchen essentials cheat sheet, and so much more. Head on over to culturallyours.com/free to grab these and be sure to check back often as we're constantly adding more resources just for you. Now, let's get back to the episode. So Rania, tell me this, if I or somebody else were to plan a trip to where you are, where would you take us? Give me an itinerary on sort of where to go, what to do, things to see, that kind of stuff.
Perfect. Okay, so Thessaloniki is northern Greece. So you either jump on a plane straight to here or drive up or fly from Athens. It's not very far, just an hour. Okay. It's a great, I would say you need to spend at least 3 to 4 days because there's a lot to see. And I would start with the old town. So Thessaloniki has some of the, actually the most Byzantine UNESCO monuments. So I think we've got about 15 and it's a small city. So you would get a glimpse of the old castle walls, the old towers, the agora, the horse racing. Those are very prominent features in the city. So just walking around, yeah. And then tons of museums, but okay, I would stick to one, you know, the most important one maybe. And then for local vibes, which you can find pretty much everywhere, it's about like nights at the taverna with some raki and some mezedes and some friends and some live music. So that would be the Thessaloniki experience. And then if I had to, you know, if I could take you a little bit outside as well, we'd go to Chalkidiki, which is the beaches that I mentioned earlier. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds fascinating. Sounds like a good, like you said, 3 to 4 day trip. And yeah. I love culture and history. So, you know, I try to go to a museum if there is one in the place that I'm visiting, because it's such a great experience. Perfect. To kind of step back in time a little bit, right? And kind of imagine life, I don't know, 100, 200, however long, like depending on the artifacts. It just gives such a great sort of insight into life, I think.
Yeah. I agree. We have 6 or 7 here, so I think you're covered.
Oh, good. Now, one thing that I'm seeing, and perhaps this is something that you're also seeing, given, you know, you've been traveling around the country a little bit, travel is changing and it's becoming more sort of grassroots, people wanting you know, off the beaten path, more like hyper-localized sort of experiences, right? So these next few questions, I want to get your perspective. I want to get sort of your insight. So let's kind of jump right in. What is your favorite restaurant and why?
Oh, okay. So I recently got a new favorite. So it's called Nama. It's in, again, sort of the depth of the old town, hidden in behind a church. And it's this unassuming little place that the creative modern Greek cuisine. It's just like they bring one dish at a time. And with a bit of wine or a bit of, you know, raki. And it's just extremely creative flavors. Like they will take a Greek fish, a Greek staple like cod or tempura that we say, or that's another fish, and they'll just add pickled strawberries and avocado and some puree or other that is just like incredible. I've never had anything like that, with like a Greek sort of theme to it. It's a very special restaurant.
Sounds interesting. They're like a fusion of flavors, but keeping sort of the grassroots of Greek cuisine intact. Nice, nice. Okay. What's your favorite activity?
The waterfront, no doubt in my mind. So the waterfront spans like the whole city center. It would take at least an hour and a half to walk the whole thing from the port to whatever it is on the other side. I can't remember now. It must be some, what is it? Some opera. The opera house, that's what it is. yeah, and you just watch the boats come in, and there's so many people, and there's all these musicians, local musicians. It's just very lively. It's very nice.
Now, how about sort of outdoor spaces? Think like forests or like national parks or things like that that maybe are more of a locals hangout and something that we might not see in like Lonely Planet or something, but it's equally amazing and definitely something that we should think about visiting.
Okay. So one place that would definitely not be in a guidebook is, it's a forest. It's got a tricky name. It is Seixou. And to reach it, you sort of go through the neighborhoods and out, like walk across the bridge from a motorway. And then you're inside this huge forest that is around the city, and people just go there and exercise and have picnics. It's not organized, but it's gorgeous, and you get great views of the whole city.
Wow, awesome! Now, talk about sort of local experiences, things that I know you talked about waterfront and people watching is such a such a great way to really get a glimpse of life, like, you know, on the streets, local people doing local things, which sometimes as tourists, we don't sort of put time on our calendars to do that. But I love people watching. It's just it's a lot of fun. So tell me some other sort of maybe activities or experiences that, you know, if we were to come there, and this can be, you know, it for your hometown or somewhere else as well in Greece, that we should definitely think about experiencing.
The one aspect of it is very much grounded around food. So, you know, trying to find local sellers that have authentic little, like the Greek kouloury, which is the sesame bar, or some beverages. So that's one aspect that I would say. And the other one, again, it has it to do a little bit about food and about tavernas, because like to get the local thing, you have to talk to the locals. So you want to go to the most unassuming restaurant, no English menus. And that's true for all over Greece. No English menus, just some tables and chairs under, you know, in the veranda. And sit and try, most often they will speak English, to talk to the yaya, chef, you know, to the grandma. Okay. That's when you get the really good stories.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, sometimes it can be intimidating, I think, when you don't know the language and you're trying to kind of, you know, order food, or especially if you have any sort of dietary restrictions. I think it's a lot of fun. Yeah. And, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You don't find what you like, yeah. You pay, you get up and you go and you find something else.
So. I mean, this is I was going to say that is sort of the classic Greek scene that you see in the movies with the yaya, like she drags you into her arms and stuffs you full of food. It can be fun. Not for everyone, but it can be fun.
Yeah. Now, I'm from India, and I know that when I go home, of course, I have my sort of, you know, local restaurants and food, like our equivalent of food trucks, where, you know, you just go and you're literally standing on the street and you're having, like, you know, snacks and dinner and things like that. But It can be a little intimidating to people I've taken on trips, and it's just like, trust the local and it will be amazing. And, you know, just go where the locals go, because you know that they're not going to make a mistake.
Agreed, absolutely, yes.
All right, so now let's talk a little bit about your sort of travels. You mentioned earlier that you've explored the country quite a bit over the summer. So tell me, and this can be either in your hometown or, you know, places that you've explored. Where have you gone recently and discovered something that perhaps was very new to you, or maybe rediscovered something from when you lived here before?
I have a great new place. It's not in my hometown, but it was an incredible experience. I was in Athens, and I found out through my mother, of all people, that there that there is this abandoned button factory. So it used to make buttons. And somehow the rumors on social media were that the button factory was in China. Well, turns out it was in my neighborhood in Athens. And I woke up with my mother, and we kind of snuck into this abandoned building. And there was this incredible space that had been deserted since the 60s. It was the largest button factory in Greece. That was just like somebody had, there was an explosion of buttons. They were everywhere. And it's just insane. You're just walking, you're sinking into a pool of buttons, and it has been there for years, and I didn't know about it. And it was like the most exciting thing that I did that month, even when you count that the fact that I visited three new destinations. So.
Yeah, well, that sounds fascinating. And, you know, it's, again, it's one of those things where you kind of go and you're like asking yourself questions like, you know, what happened here? Why did it shut down? Who was working here? It's just, it sounds absolutely amazing.
So there's an island. It will not be an island most people are familiar with. It's called Leros. It's part of the Dodecanese Peninsula, complex of islands. It's close to Turkey, and a very, very interesting place, because even though the locals do not promote it, it has a very rich history from World War II. And that was insane. And I have a very cool story about that place as well. So there I am, you know, enjoying the beaches and the food. And I happen to hear from a local that there is this place that not even the locals know about. And it is an abandoned, again, with the abandoned places. I don't know what's happening in this country. So it was a bunker from World War II. Mm-hmm. And the exciting part about it is you walk in. It's now being used like a sheep, place. Like the sheep live in it, if that makes sense. But the officer that was in charge of that bunker in World War II loved painting. So he has, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I'm sorry in advance. So he has made copies of Bruegel's really famous work of art. So there's the Peasant Wedding, and then there's another one, again, that has to do with a celebration of a wedding. And they're incredible copies of this artist. And then he has also painted pretty much most surfaces of the bunker. And yeah. It's surreal. You walk in and there's all these works of art that have been painted by the German officer and have been left there for years. Nobody has done anything about it. Yeah, it was intense. And you have to like cross, you have to go through again like sheepland, you know, to get there.
So is it in the middle of a farm or land or something? I mean, how did the sheep get in there? Like, is it, I'm assuming it's like, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I think they informally use it to store supplies and the animals.
Wow. Wow. Oh my God, that sounds amazing. You have had quite a bit of an adventure this summer. Now, tell me, based on your travels, and I know this is kind of a personal question, so I want to hear your sort of personal perspective, as long as you're comfortable sharing it. Where do you think travel is headed, especially post-COVID, and even now, some people are traveling, some people are not. So what are your kind of thoughts on where the travel industry is headed?
Right. I love this question because I write on travel. I work in tourism, or at least I worked until the great pause. and the whole idea of localized and grassroots and sort of staying put, the whole idea behind that, which has been forced on us with COVID, is very important to me, and was important to me before the pandemic, because I think that a lot of people don't have the means to travel far and wide. And I think the tourism industry sometimes makes it seem like you have to do those crazy, incredible life destination trips. Mm-hmm. So I started something called Mini Adventures in a blog where I write, and the whole idea behind it was something that is relevant to COVID at the moment, which is wherever you are, whatever spot you occupy at that moment, somebody's used to and somebody wants to travel to that spot to explore it. And so you can go deep. You can go deep into the language, the culture, the food, the people. There's always something to explore. And it makes it even more exciting when you unravel all those areas of a place. And so I hope, to go back to the future prediction, I hope there's more of that, but I hope it's not forced. I hope people choose to do that. I hope people see that through this great pause now, there are places, there are staycations, there are mini adventures, there are domestic destinations, and you can have fun with that. So that is my, I guess, semi-positive view.
I love it. And you're so right in that even though it's forced on us, it's sort of how you view it as an opportunity or as, you know, something that you kind of sulk about. And you know, let's face it, we've all done that. We've all sat down and sulked and asked the question, oh my God, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me?
Oh yeah.
But it's gone on for so long that we have no choice but to kind of get up and, you know, sort of dust ourselves off and say, okay, how am I going to go forward? And the fact that hopefully it's no longer a thing where I'm going to spend 2 days in Paris and, you know, 2 days in London and then, you know, 2 days somewhere else. And instead doing more longer trips, but even more shorter, like localized trips, right? Like you said, look at the
food, yeah.
Look at the culture, look at the museum. Most places, even small towns, have some history or the other. And there is something, even if it is a small, like I know in a lot of the small towns here in the States, we have these little homes that have been converted to like small town museums. And they are fascinating because you have this one person who's probably lived in their hometown for years and years and years, and they're manning, you know, the front desk, and they just want to come. They just want to talk to you. They want to share. And pretty soon you're, you know, sharing life stories on a cup of coffee. And it's incredible because you get to be a part of somebody's day and somebody's life.
Special. It makes it very memorable.
For sure, for sure. And you remember these things more than you remember, I don't know, wandering the Louvre for like 2 hours and then running out because you have something else to do, right?
So, I think so too, yes.
Yeah, so hopefully there's some positives that come out of this. And I know it's going to take a long time for the industry to bounce back. But I love asking this question because I want to hear people's perspectives. And because that, for me, that opens my mind too on things that I might not think about. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I love that question.
Now, what about your travel plans? I know things are on a pause, but I feel like you've still made the most of it and you've still kind of explored your country. So share with us, what are your travel plans either within Greece or, you know, when things open up, where would you like to go next?
Okay. So I, again, very luckily, am traveling again in 2 weeks domestically to a new island destination, actually to two. So that's something to look forward to in the near future. And then on a whim, Ryanair is budget airline. I don't know if I should have said the name, but the budget airline.
That's okay.
They were doing all these deals, and I was like, you know, I'll support and see if I can make it to that destination when the time comes, because things can change. But I went ahead and booked a flight to Armenia because it was a great deal. And that's a country I've been meaning to explore. It's for November. Okay. Who knows if we'll be able to travel, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, for sure. I know, you know, we've all kind of had trips canceled and put things on hold. So to actually book something, I think half the excitement in just pushing that book button.
Absolutely. I just wanted to have that feeling again of like, here's your confirmation code for your flight. You know?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it'll be fun. And that sounds amazing that, you know, you're kind of getting out and exploring the island. So I'm sure you're going to have tons of adventures around. Thank you so much, Rania. This has been amazing. Giving us a glimpse of your part of the world. And I can't wait to see some of the photos and kind of follow your journey. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me and for this chat. It's been incredible. I've loved discussing Thessaloniki and my hometown, things to do.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed this show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.